There's a couple of things you'd like to talk to me about this school. The NASA and Target new launch date for the next Starliner flight test, and also about Mars being such a big month for. How do you incorporate this? Because obviously you are a space school. How does this get incorporated, these extra things, into the children's curriculum?
That's a really good question. One of the main ways we do it is actually through the astronomy GCSE that we offer. Not many schools offer the astronomy GCSE, but we do, which is a really nice thing for those students who are keen and enthusiastic about space. And one of the things that we have to remember when we talk about space is the fact that space is just an application of science. So if you're a school and you're focusing on science, so that could be the physics, the chemistry or biology, there is always an aspect that you can apply through space. So within our science lessons, within our astronomy lessons, we're always able to link into space. And then there's another aspect of the school which is very special to Space Studio West London, which is in year 10, we do something called Core Project, where the students have to work through a driving question. So we might ask them a question, is it possible to put a colony of people on Mars? At which point they then have to use all their science, their maths, their some psychology as well, because we also offer psychology at year 10, into play to see if they can solve that problem. They then have to produce a presentation, a 3D model, and present that to science teachers and myself as the principal of the school, and we judge whether or not their project has been successful. So not only are they learning science, but they're also learning teamwork, creativity, and the ability to communicate. So I think that's something special that we do at the school, which we're really proud of.
I mean, all kids love space. I mean, my son studied astrophysics at university, so I've heard about space from when he was a tiny thing, and then he sort of did flying and things, and you can apply everything in space to physics. How are you coping with COVID at the moment?
How are we coping with COVID at the moment? Well, obviously, one of the things that teachers and students are brilliant at is adapting. And we've had to adapt really rapidly to a changing environment. So we're quite lucky as a school in that we're a very small school. So we've got 180 students. And as part of that, every student gets issued with a Chromebook. So we know that all of our students have access to all of the work that we can do via the internet and via the Chromebook. So we've actually been able to take our school and go online effectively. So we created a virtual school. So as principal, I still teach quite a lot, and I teach at the moment. So tomorrow, for example, I've got my chemistry lesson. So my students will be coming to their chemistry lesson at 10 past 11, as they would normally do in school, but it'll just be virtual. It's really quite exciting because I feel like I've had to go back to basics in terms of my teaching and learn a completely new way of communicating with students. It's not the same. I'm not going to pretend it is the same. It's different in terms of the education, but in terms of content, you can get through quite a lot. What the students miss, and I think this is something that's been reflected across the country, is they do miss the social interaction. And when students come back to school, that's going to be really important for us to encourage the social interaction, well-being, thinking about how we can encourage students to work on those aspects of their life.
Do you get a chance to actually sort of demonstrate some chemistry experiments? Do you have the facilities? Obviously, are you at school when you're going out with these lessons? So can you just do a lesson in front of the screen for all the kids to see, you know, sodium fizzing up in a test tube or the things that you would have done in a fume cupboard? Are you able to do those experiments and then send them for the children to watch from their laptops at home?
You can do numerous experiments. My speciality is actually physics. So with my sixth form class, I've been able to demonstrate standing waves, which is a vibration generator set up with an oscilloscope. Now, I was a bit worried because I did think about whether or not they'd actually be able to see, because it vibrates very, 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 very quickly, and whether they'd actually be able to see it over the screen, but it worked really well. So yes, we were able to do that. It's a really interesting thing, the internet and teaching remotely, because I can do an experiment, but there are many people who've also already done them. So you can find videos of experiments all over the place. And what's really been powerful for me is seeing how resourceful the students have been at finding clips and sharing them with each other and saying, have a look at this. So the remote learning has in a way encouraged independent learning and research from students, which is something that we need to make sure we encourage when they do come back to school.
And do you think you've got some future astronauts developing at the school?
I'd love to think we've got future astronauts developing at the school. It's obviously a very tricky area to get into. We had a visit from a NASA astronaut when we opened, the first year we opened, called Ken Bowersock. And one of the students said to him, "What's the way to become an astronaut?" And his answer, I thought, was really insightful, because rather than saying the way to become an astronaut is this, he said, "Well, if you never try, you never will be." So he twisted it round to say, you've got to push yourself to try and achieve it. He did go to, he talked about the route that he'd been down, which was to become a test pilot in the Navy first and then go on from that to become an astronaut. We send students, our best students each year, to NASA on a trip. So we send two students each year from our school, and the trust send two students from each of the schools on a trip over to NASA, where they get to meet astronauts, flight engineers, get to look behind the scenes. So they really do have the role models to look towards to do it. I would be surprised if eventually we didn't end up with someone who had been at the school as an astronaut, because the way the space exploration is going currently is definitely accelerating. So NASA looking to put somebody back on the moon by 2024 and then using the Moona base as a launch pad to go to Mars. So space flight is definitely going to develop. And then you've got SpaceX, private company. So I think there's going to be many more opportunities for people to be an astronaut. So I would say, you can never say 100%, can you? But I would say the probability is that we will end up with somebody going off to space, yes.
Well, thank you, Andy, for talking to me. I think we can use the adage, never say never, and wish you all the best. And I hope you do find a budding astronaut at school who will come back and tell all the future budding astronauts how they got there. Thank you very much indeed for talking to me. Thank you. Thank you. Bye.